there. Hi, everyone.
Good morning.
It is such an honor to be here. This is my first time at C3, and I have to say, it just feels so nice in this room. Thank you for bringing such a great energy to this space. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited to share some thoughts with you and to hear your ideas. We had a phenomenal conversation this morning before about this question, what is essential? And I'm really excited to hear your thoughts on it as well. So before I start, I just want to share that this is a perspective. It's not right or wrong. It's just a way of seeing things. That's what a perspective is. And it's either more or less useful. So hopefully we can all share different perspectives, and hopefully together we can walk around this question and get a better sense of actually what it might be. The reading we're discussing today comes from The Little Prince, written by, okay, you know now I studied Spanish, not French, so I really don't know how to say this guy's name. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, something like that. And I read this story for the first time maybe 6 years ago, so it's pretty new to me. For those of you who might not be familiar with the story, it's really a tale that's about kind of the what is true or what is our true nature. The actual story follows a little prince who loves a flower and who lives on an asteroid and who also really appreciates sunsets immensely. And he leaves his asteroid to go to other planets, including ours, where he meets and befriends a fox and an aviator. And it's the fox who says to him what's quoted in the reading, "It is only with the heart that one sees rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eyes." So if you're hearing this for the first time, I just want to repeat it because that's what we're going to be talking about, so make sure it's in your head. It is only with the heart that one sees rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eyes. There tends to be a common sort of understanding of what these two sentences mean. So I'm going to start with that and then shift perspectives. So the common understanding of this is to say that our true understanding of the world goes beyond the physical. Then emotions, intuition, empathy, all of these things are critical in understanding how we perceive and feel the world. Seeing with the heart is understood to mean that we're supposed to look past the surface into something deeper, something more meaningful, and that these are really important aspects of our existence. The phrase that says, "what is essential is invisible to the eye," is usually taken to mean, let's say, that the most important qualities of people and objects are not always immediately apparent. Intangible qualities like love, kindness, compassion, friendship, all of these things are really important, but they can't be measured or seen in the physical material world. They have to be felt and understood with the heart. Everything here that I've described, to me, it implies this relationality, right? So it also has something to do with our connection to things, our connection to ourselves, our connection to other people, taking it beyond the surface. Excuse me, there's a cold coming on that I'm keeping at bay. Taken beyond the surface and kind of deepened. So this is the common perspective, and it's great. This is actually not what I saw when I first read these two sentences. What struck me, what really struck me in this passage and actually moved me to tears, was the word essential. Because for me, that word essential is kind of the key to unlocking a different perspective of this very simple passage or these two sentences. And so I want to spend some time talking about the word essential and what it is and how we can understand it. So the word essential, shockingly, comes from the root word for essence, which means we're going to spend some time talking about essence. I like to start with the roots of things because words are created, right? We create these words for a reason. We're trying to capture something about our existence, and I find it beneficial to start with the root of it because then it helps us understand why did somebody create this word in the first place. So essence is interesting because it was created pretty recently in ancient Rome to try to understand something that the Greeks were describing, and This is something written by Aristotle and Plato, and again, I don't speak Greek, so I'm going to say it in Greek as best I think it was pronounced. And that is to ti en aina, maybe. And it is the what it was to be, which is kind of a mouthful in English, the what it was to be. And they shortened it to to ti est, which is the what it is. So they had this concept of the what it is of something, the whatness, the thisness, the what it was to be. And it was more nuanced than just saying the what. So they needed another word. So they came up with this word, essentia. And essentia, the root of that is esse in Latin, and esse is also to be. So there's this being that underlies everything, then that gets layered on top of it with this sort of whatness, the what it is, the what it wants to be. So with this understanding, we can now look to how we use these words in modern, kind of how we use them now every day. And I looked at the Oxford English Dictionary, because that's the one I use, but I'm sure you could look up in any dictionary. And essence, they define as being the intrinsic nature or indispensable quality of something, especially something abstract that determines its character. And in philosophy, it's a property or group of properties of something without which it would not exist or be what it is. So there's the sneaking in of the what it is. We kind of kept that in the definition. And essential, believe it or not, the first four definitions of essential are related to essence. They say of or being related to essence, which I thought was surprising because we don't usually use essential in that way. We use essential as the fifth definition, which is absolutely necessary or indispensable. So I want to keep those definitions in mind when we think about that sentence, what is essential is invisible to the eyes. But before we get there, I just want to spend some time saying that this word essence has been something that people have been contemplating for a really long time. It's not, that's what it is, right? And we can move on. It's got this depth and layer to it. And I want to just share some perspectives on essence in the hope that it gets your mind thinking about different ways that we can kind of understand this word. So it started with the Greeks. Well, it didn't really start with the Greeks, but our word is starting with the Greeks. And Plato, who had this concept of the forms. So for him, the forms were these sort of perfections of things. And the essence was, I would say, our participation in the form. So the concretization of the forms here on this place of our existence. So it was how we related to the forms was through essence, or the essence of things. So it wasn't just in humans, it was in everything. Thomas Aquinas made a distinction between esse, being, and the whatness of something, where he said being is kind of everywhere and universal, but the whatness is personal, kind of individual. This made me think a little bit about consciousness. We talk a lot about a universal consciousness and sometimes a personal consciousness. So he made that sort of distinction with essence as well. John Locke also made a distinction in essences. He talks about real essences. This is a mouthful, which is the thing that makes a thing a thing. You can see why we needed a new word here. The thing that makes a thing is the real essence, and the nominal essence is our perception of what makes a thing a thing. So there's a distinction, which is kind of similar to what Plato was talking about with this sort of like ideal idea of something, and then what we bring to it. Then we move into existentialism, and Jean-Paul Sartre, again, French that I'm not probably absolutely mispronouncing, he said, you know what, essence isn't real at all. It's totally not a thing. We made it up. The only thing that's real is existence. So that's another really interesting thing to contemplate. So is it a thing? Is it not a thing? And he's not the only one who said that. There's a sect of Buddhism that also says that essence is not real, that actually our idea of essence gets in the way of our seeing things as they are, and that the reality of things and all phenomenon are actually absent of essence, which is interesting. So we have essence is like the most important thing, and essence is absolutely not a thing. And then we have a perspective of a sect of Hinduism that says that there's essence and that there's our social conditioning, mental conditioning, habits, ego, personality, and that those are different things. and distinct things. So these are just different ideas, different perspectives. And I bring them all up just to make it really clear that there is no one understanding of this word, and that I hope that as we're talking today and as you go through the day and through the rest of the week, that this is something that you can hold on to and think about, what really is this to you? Because it gets to be something that you can work out for yourself. Thankfully for us, de Saint-Exupéry has his definition for us in those two sentences. For him, he says, it is only with the heart that one sees rightly, that this is what is essential. So if we understand essential to mean both of and relating to essence and that which is most fundamentally important, then we understand that he's simultaneously telling us that essence can only be seen with the heart, that it's of utmost importance, and that it's invisible to the eyes. So he kind of points to it. He walks around it. So let's talk about that. What does it mean to be invisible to the eyes? And what does it mean to see with the heart? So what is invisible to the eyes? Let's start with the most basic thing, which is probably not here in the physical world, right? Which is something we talked about at the very beginning. So what's invisible to the eyes is not material, not physical. Okay, that's one way of looking at it. There's another way of looking at it that I also think is really important, that for me gets at the core of essence a little bit more. And that is this. When we see something, what happens? Well, we've all been around, looking around, except for the child who just left. We've all been around for a little while, right? We have experience with some things. So when we look at something, there's something that happens in our brains. We have memories of those things, and those memories get brought to the forefront. We have names for things. We might identify with things. We might associate with things. All of those things get brought forth. We have a history. So if I show you this orange as an example, first of all, you can identify it. You can name it. Oh, orange. You might have a memory of the first time you've eaten an orange. You might remember sharing oranges with family. You might remember the texture of an orange. You might remember that you love the taste of oranges or that you don't like the taste of oranges. What's certain is that you're not going to be able to see this with fresh eyes unless you've been doing a lot of work to practice to do that. You come with a veil over your eyes that makes it difficult to see things for what they really are. We all do, not just you, me too. I have associations with oranges as well. Little kids don't have this. If you spend a lot of time with young children, you notice that they see things, notice things that we often don't notice because they don't have an entire history of experience that they're bringing to an object or a person or an experience. And that's why they tend to have insights that we might miss. But this veil makes things difficult for us to see. It makes things invisible to us that are sometimes right there in front of our eyes. So that's one component here. So then he says, okay, you can't see this with your eyes, both because it's not material and because we have all of this history that gets in the way sometimes of us seeing clearly. So we can only see with our heart. What does that mean? I think it's really interesting that he uses the word see, not feel. We tend to say we feel with our heart, but he says see. So see, the word, is related to the word know. Those two words actually come from the same Proto-Indo-European root. So we know with our heart. It's a different sort of quality, isn't it? A knowing. It cuts through the veils of perception, and it lands right here. And what is it he says that we know with our hearts? Essence, according to the passage. So if we rephrase this passage, we can rephrase it as, what is can only be known. Essence is vitally important and cannot be seen or known in the material world. So I love this phrase, what is. It's one of my favorite questions to ask people, usually adults, but older kids as well. The question of, what are you? What are you? We are often asked, who are you? And we're often asked or told to be who we are, right? Everybody says, be who you are. which is really valuable. But who you are is not the same thing as what you are. There's a reason why the Greeks were kind of focusing on the whatness of something, because it's different than the who-ness. I'm going to give a perspective on this, but you can feel it differently, and that's totally okay. So for me, the who-ness is the labels, the identities. It's sort of what's on the surface. It might be your name, right? When somebody says, who are you? You give your name first, right? It's what's on the surface. The whatness is what's on the inside that comes out. The whatness is experienced. This is something we talked about actually this morning, somebody brought up. The whatness is experience. The who-ness can be said with a bunch of different words. It's very hard to wrap words around the whatness of something, isn't it? That's why we use art so often, to try to get at the core of the essence of things, because the words, they sort of fall short. And we can only really see this or feel this or know this, we're told, with our hearts. So I could ask the question, what are you? And that's really the question. If you can answer it in the next 30 seconds, I'd be shocked, because it's just not that easy to answer. It's very difficult to see ourselves, because in order to answer this question, what are you, we need to have open hearts. And it's hard for us as adults to have really open hearts. We tend to be, I think, the most judgmental, the harshest towards ourselves. In many ways, I feel like our hearts are most closed to us. We tend to be a little bit easier to have open hearts, be a little bit softer with other people. So I thought that rather than say right now, look inward and find the whatness in you and open your heart to you, because I know that's a little bit harder, why don't we try it with each other? So I thought I'd do, if you're open to it, and you don't have to be open to it, we could try to see rightly with our hearts for the next few minutes. And to do this, you need a partner. I'll be your partner if you'd like, because I'm right here. We all need a partner, and you need to turn and face your partner if you're open to it. Again, there's no requirement to do this. And I'll give you the instructions on what to do. Okay. Everybody got a partner? Okay, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to look into each other's eyes with open hearts and as best as possible without letting thoughts get in the way. And see if you can just see the other person. This is going to get to a point where it's giggly and squirmy. That's cool. Let it go. You can giggle, you can squirm, it's totally fine. We're going to push past that to see what we actually see when we're past the really awkward, uncomfortable phase. And let's just see what it's like to see with our hearts. So we'll give it 3-5 minutes, something like that. I'll set a timer. And then stay where you are when the timer goes off, and I'm going to give you a further instruction. Yeah? Is this okay? Show of hands, are enough people feeling like they want to try it? Yeah? Okay. Let's give it a try then. So go ahead and start. Look at each other, and I'll set the timer. That was the alarm. Hi, everyone. So for those of you who tried this, thanks. That better? Okay, thank you. For those of you who tried this, if you look into the eyes of the other person, tell them what it is that you saw. What did you see when you looked at them for this long? So give it just like a few seconds and just share. What did you see? Yeah? was very powerful. Did anybody else feel like that was a very powerful experience? Yeah, it was for me too. So thank you for doing this. Thanks for being open to trying it. I know it requires you to make yourself a bit vulnerable to do it. So to me, answering this question, what am I? It's not something that can be answered in a short amount of time. It can be a lifelong journey. It can be take years to really understand this in yourself. But it might be the most important, the most essential question one can ask of yourself and of the people around you. And not just the people, but you can ask the same thing in nature, of everything. What is your essence? What are you? For many of us as adults, we obscure this. We tend to obscure our essences, not only from ourselves, but from everything and everyone in the world. And we learn to do this from a very young age. So if you look at small children, you can almost touch their essence. It's right there. It's so beautiful. But we learn at some point in our lives that it's not safe to share this. And so we learn to hide it away. Some of us lock it away. Some of us fortress it away with a lot of concrete around it. And because of that, we also have to close off our hearts a little. Because if we were to keep our hearts open and hide away what's true for us, our true nature, it would be really painful to witness our own imprisonment of ourselves. So these two things go hand in hand. Opening hearts, allowing yourself to really flourish and show up. So we walk around, most of us, hiding the most beautiful parts of ourselves with semi-closed hearts, blinded to the true nature of things. But it doesn't have to be this way. I mean, you just saw within a few minutes that you can really shift how you are in the world, how you show up, and what you allow to come through in a way that you can realize is actually really safe. Because the beauty that you saw in your partner, and I'm pretty sure you saw the beauty in your partner, it's in you too. It's in all of us. So go find it. Go find what you are and set yourself free. If we all did that, if we all found the what in ourselves and let our hearts be open, we might be able to see rightly the essence of things with our hearts at all times. So what is essential? Essence. And how do we know it? By opening our hearts. Thank you all so much.